Baba was 7 years older. I was 18 and 25.
What was Baba's voice like?
Baba had a very beautiful voice. Sorry. Baba had a really very beautiful voice. I had heard his voice for 3 years. I had heard him give discourses, heard his voice, heard him sing, heard him play, saw him play this drum. I used to play sitar when he sang. He used to make me sing and play the drum. And then in 1925, he began his silence at Mehrabad.
Did you miss his voice?
Yes, in the early years. And then laterally, he kept us all occupied so much in work that we did not think of anything at all. He kept us so very busy doing his work all the time.
Do you think we should try and repeat Baba's name verbally when possible?
Yes. One should take up to any way or any method he likes, which will be most helpful to remember him and love him, think of him, make him your constant companion, in short. Constant companion. That doesn't mean that you should coerce your mind and force your mind every minute to think of him when you are occupied in doing something else. This is not the way. You see, somebody whom you love, you may not go on remembering him all the time. But a spare moment you get, you see, you share your thoughts, you immediately should run to him. He should be the mainstay of your life, your constant companion, without whom I can't live. This should be the feeling. Without him I can't live, without him I can't die.
You talked about in Guru Prasad having a conviction of Baba as compared to knowing or having faith.
No, I never compared Norina's faith with my conviction, nothing of the sort.
What is conviction?
Conviction, yes. One day, Baba, I think it was in 1956, that Baba went and lived at Scarsdale, a suburb of New York, in that house. And I would use... 52. I would use and Don Stephen had come. They had a very beautiful interview. Many things were explained by Baba. Baba gave actually a discourse in which a thing, a word as conviction, just came up. And when they went home, it was all the night practically playing in the mind of Don Stevens. And he did not really understand what this conviction was. Is it a faith? Is it a mental acceptance? Is it an acceptance by the heart? It is just a mental acceptance? What he was a little confused over, because Baba used that word conviction. And then the next morning when he came, he asked Baba, "Baba, will you please kindly throw a little light upon this, because it confuses me. I do not know. Is it a faith, what you call the conviction?" Then Baba said, "Conviction is more than faith. Conviction is a thing, what the mind thinks and the heart supports. Both should equally contribute in forming a conviction. There should not be the least conflict between the mind and the heart." The heart says Baba is personification of God. But the mind says, if Baba is God, why, if there is a little cold, why Baba covers his feet, why does he feel cold, why shouldn't he be immune to the effect of this nature and all that? All sorts of things come up in the mind, and it goes and undermines the faith that the heart has got, you see. So, heart and mind both join together and it forms a conviction. So, there can be no doubts, no misgivings about anything at all. I used to get annoyed with Baba. Mandali people used to get annoyed with Baba. That made no difference at all. That did not interfere in them. So, Don Stevens would explain that which is backed by the mind and the heart at one and the same time, both become complementary to each other. That is the conviction. And this explanation also gave Don a great conviction. and he was very happy to hear. And so also I deduce. So the conviction is a thing really, as I say, people ask where is God realization and what are the experiences, what are the tidbit of experiences that man should run after, see some light, hear some music, get some fragrance or some perfumes of some inner world. But what does it do? Just gives you an attraction for the time being. It has really no meaning. It doesn't solve the problem of your life at all. And Baba is never interested in giving you these small experiences at all. Baba is interested in giving you what he himself has. And he himself enjoys. But there is a long waiting for that. If you are... Baba said, I can give anybody anything he wants. If you prefer to remain as a child and play with toys, Baba will go on giving you toys and go on playing lifelong. But Baba wants you to grow up, isn't it? And then there is no spiritual advancement, no experiences. Some Kirpal Singh comes, some other saintly man comes and gives you a little light, gives some experiences. Somebody calls himself the reincarnation of Sai Baba, comes forward, gives you a... produces a flower out of nothing, produces some jewel out of nothing and presents it to you. All these things and... all these things take a man to? Nowhere at all. They are absolutely meaningless. And Baba is never interested. Baba is interested in giving, in making you like himself.
Now that Baba is not embodied anymore, how much emphasis should we still
Baba
play?
Is not there. Baba couldn't be expected to live in that body for the pleasure of looking at his body.
How much emphasis should we still put on
Baba is right here.
His form, loving him,
yes. Form.
In
yes, Baba is right here and one can love his form as much, you see. But Baba has given us a great occasion and opportunity to feel his divinity within your heart. You can even see his form in your heart. You can see him in the form of an infinite peacefulness, infinite bliss for the moment. You can feel him as a tremendous energy to do his work. You can feel him in you can feel the image of his heart in your heart, image of his body in your heart. It is all what you want. But one has to wait until what he wants to give you, he'll give you in your own time. You cannot rush up a thing like this. If a woman is conceived, you cannot expect the child the next day or the next month. She has to pass through a period of 9 months because Baba has created the law himself. The humanity is bound by the law and Baba assumed the limitations of law to release your humanity from illusion.
Adi, and what you're saying is that by our going through various disciplines of fasting, eating particular foods, and then sitting in meditations at particular times, this will not speed up the love of God in our own heart.
If it is going to, it will. But it does not do. It brings the sense, man starts feeling that I have renounced everything and I do so much of meditation. Anybody does not do it. So I am greater than him. If he's going to feed his ego, Baba says this yoga, you go and I come. But in the yoga that is done, it is all you are nowhere I. Baba is not there, God is not there, it is all I. That man himself is there. I do this. I do that. I am big, I am a great renunciator, I am a big meditator. You see, these are the things.
So when Baba gets ready, he comes forth in your heart, period, that's it.
Yes, he comes in your heart.
Regardless of your disciplines, your strivings.
The exercises, strivings means not the main things, you see, the discipline of the life, as I explained last night, the three things. Not to touch money belonging to anybody, not to touch woman belonging to anybody, and to love God and love Baba. These are fundamental disciplines. They have to be necessarily adhered to. Barring these things, exercises of the mind and some yoga, some hatha yoga, meditation, they may have their proportionate effect on the body and mind. It may give you a little peacefulness, but to what? What you mentioned?
Then it's not peace we want, it's Baba we want.
Yes, if I have to go to hell to find Baba, it is better than in heaven where Baba is not there.
Baba,
sometimes people that have been loving Baba for some time suddenly hear a new person that suddenly says that they have seen Baba physically, as in a vision, or perhaps right before them, that they just Baba just seemed to be in the store
yes,
at the
yes.
time. What to make of such things, actually?
You see, Baba is infinite. Baba is the personification of God, whether he is in body or whether he is not in body, he is there. And Baba, being the avatar, is a permanent link between the absolute God and the eternal illusion. There is no other soul who links up absolute God with eternal illusion at all. Even the perfect master, after he drops his body, he does his work when he is alive in the body. After he drops his body, he completely severed from the illusion. He is only I am God conscious all the time, and he enjoys that bliss. But he is in no way connected with. But avatar, ever and anon, keeps himself connected with the illusion. Because he was the first avatar, he was the first dropped out of the ocean to become God realized. He is only one, he is unique, all avatars are the same, there are no two avatars. He comes, he takes bodies in different, under different circumstances at different places. He was the same Zoroaster, he was the same Rama, Krishna, Buddha, Christ, Muhammad and Meher Baba. The link is there ever. In reference to other souls, spiritually advanced persons, they have to come back again to attain perfection. Perfected souls, when they drop the body, they become disconnected with illusion. It is only the avatar. One God, one avatar, one man, one brotherhood, one love, one life. All the differences are created by our mind, are divided by the mind. The division is not in fact, but the division is in impression.
This is another question that I have. Most of us here, somehow there's a conflict in the family where young people say, oh, Meher Baba, and the parents say, there you are, following an Indian master. What's wrong with Christ? And this is a conflict in all the families. Not all, but a lot.
The conflict is because that thought was ingrained out of the selfishness of man that Christ is the only avatar, Zoroaster is the only avatar, Muhammad is the only avatar, and those who literally follow, for us avatar is all same, all are one, but if he follows that avatar in that specific body, is good for salvation. The rest of all humanity go to dogs unless they come to this avatar. This is absolutely, you see, childish.
What do we do though? We know that, but the parents don't know.
We have to face the situation and just very lovingly, tactfully explain the whole situation. And if it beyond our means, we have to give it up. That's all. Leave him to Baba alone. We can't do anything more.
Go our way and let.
If I do not have the money and I really aspire to fly in a jumbo plane, I can't do it. I have to wait. So you have to wait, watch and see and take an opportunity. I will give you an instance where, I will not name the person, but give you an instance where the mother did not allow, the father was much in favor of Baba, a long disciple of nearly 40 or 45 years. And his wife did not allow his son to go to Baba at all. Then the son happened to go to a foreign country. And then he fell in love with a foreign girl. The parents did not like it. They abhorred it. They become absolutely helpless. Of course, the father was a disciple of Baba. Then he went and asked Baba, Baba says, I think the match is all right and it is perfectly all right. Let him marry if he is to marry. If there is love, real love, true love, sincere love between themselves, they may marry. It doesn't matter if she is a foreigner. She doesn't belong to your religion. It makes no difference to me at all. Then Baba has a letter written to this boy who had never come near Baba. And Baba okayed everything. And he immediately turned. He writes such beautiful letters to Baba. Baba, you are God personified, everything. Small girl. You see, this is our life. You do not know where will Baba will catch hold of you. It may be through your love for any girl, it may be through your any act, anything else, you see. Baba is all the time waiting to just draw you near him.
Following Baba this life, what about in a future life? Will Baba still keep us with him, or will we follow?
We have to link ourselves with Baba through love. Play our part and let him do his work. Why should I bother next life? Where am I going to come? So long that I have got the conviction of Baba in my heart, I have not to worry at all. Whether he wants to bring me another life or wants to take me away directly to the seven-up consciousness, as you said. Why should I bother? The love of Baba is my main stain of life. It is the foundation on which we stand. That is why I say you should have to get the conviction. Then the conviction should become so firm, so strong, so unchallenged, so unassailable, that nothing can affect that conviction. I may get irritated with Baba. I may get many a times I have abused Baba within myself. But that never has affected my conviction or love for him at all. So, there you are. Whether he will get me to another life, it is not for he is bringing me in another life or not bringing me another life that should come in the way of me and Baba. The other day people asked me, what about Baba's declarations? I said, we have to love Baba for Baba and for our love for him. Declaration should not be allowed to create a curtain between Baba and me. We do not love Baba because he has declared certain things and according to us they have not come to fruition.
Baba says that we should long for him, but then he says separation and union is none of our business, and then he says we should just praise his glory, then he says we should long for union
at
the same time.
You see, our mind is never steady. Sometimes it longs union, sometimes it gets fed up even with the thought of Baba and wants to keep himself aside as a change. You see, mind is, as I call, a barking dog, like a barking dog. He all the time goes on barking behind us, you see. So we have to keep, sometimes he asks questions, we have to satisfy him with certain answers. Sometimes he wants us to go out and just play and move about. You see, mind is...